Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
If you are a man listening to my show right now, let me ask you 2 to 3 questions. First question, did you start having sex sometime between the ages of 13 and 19? If the answer is yes to the first question, my second question would be, do you have a daughter who is currently 19 years of age or younger? If the answer is yes to the second question, would you have a problem if you found out that your daughter who is between the ages of 13 and 19 was already sexually active? I would bet money that if you are the father of at least one daughter who is between the ages of 13 and 19, those series of questions probably made you feel a wee bit uncomfortable, didn't they? If there is one thing I have found to be true over the years, it would be that the vast majority of men are, to one degree or another, hypocritical when it comes to their daughters having sex. There are many men who want to have sex with someone else's mother, sister, or daughter, but when it comes to other men wanting to have sex with their own mother, sister, or daughter, all of a sudden these same kinky and promiscuous men become prudish and overly protective. Why is that? Tonight, I am opening up my phone lines again for another one of my provocative open forum discussion topics, and this one is primarily geared towards men who have daughters, or I want to hear from women who had very strict and overly protective fathers when they were in their teenage years. Are you ready to discuss this touchy subject? The call-in number is 646-478-5710, so write that down so you can call in and express your thoughts, opinions, and viewpoints on tonight's subject, and so I can give you the opportunity to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this the Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, Mode One. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode One, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha. Allen Roger Curry.
Enlightening one, an informative one.
I want to hear from mainly two types of people. I want to hear from men who have daughters. Specifically, I would love to hear from men who have daughters between the ages of 13 and 19. 13 and 19. I would love to hear from men who have daughters between the ages of 13 and 19. And secondly, I want to hear from women who, when they were between the ages of 13 and 19, they would say that their fathers were fairly strict slash overly protective in terms of allowing them to date guys and have sex with guys. So that's what I want to hear from, either men who have a daughter between the age of 13 and 19. If your daughter's a little older than that, I still want to hear from you too. But I'd love to hear from guys who have daughters between the ages of 13 and 19. And then again, secondly, I want to hear from women who want to talk about their experiences with their father when they were between 13 and 19. When I think of the women I know, it almost goes from one extreme to another. It's not too many women in the middle. Most of the women I've dated or been friends with, yeah, their fathers did not want them having sex as teenagers. Did not. So that's, I would say, if I was giving a rough estimate, I'd say probably like 80-85% of the women I know, yeah, did, their fathers were strict slash prudish slash overly protective when it came to the idea of them having sex between ages of 13 and 19. Then I'd say about maybe 10-15% of the women I've known over the years, they said they had very frank and open discussions with their fathers about sex, and their fathers knew they were having sex. I got at least two or three ex-girlfriends who told me that their fathers knew they were having sex when they were in high school, and that their fathers told them basically just to be, you know, responsible. You know, to either have the guys use condoms or for them to get on the pill. And, yeah, so there are some women who have had more, I guess, more liberal-minded fathers. Matter of fact, if you listen to my other show, The Erotic Conversationalist, I interviewed a woman who was the first African-American female director in the porn industry. Her name is Diana DeVoe. And, well, actually, her real name is April, but that's her stage name, Diana DeVoe. And she told me something interesting. She said when she first got in porn, she was about, she might have been older than 19. I think she was somewhere between 20 and 22 when she first got involved with porn. And I just knew her father would be, you know, totally against that. But to my surprise, she said her father was the one that was cool with it. It was her mother that flipped out. So, yeah, if you go and listen to that interview, again, that's, I have a second show called The Erotic Conversationalist that I interview women and talk about anything to do with sex, seduction, erotica, etc. And, yeah, Diana DeVoe, she says her father was the one who actually gave her the green light to do porn. He basically, he realized he would be a hypocrite is what she told me. He said, there's a part of me that doesn't want you to do porn, but he said, realistically, I watch porn. He said, and I'm watching somebody's daughter. He said, so I would be a hypocrite to tell you, you absolutely positively can't do it. Plus, you know, you're a young adult now, and it's time for you to make your own decisions. So he was like, you know, he was like, go ahead. He's like, if that's what you really want to do. He said, go ahead. And but, yeah, she said her mother was not having it. She did not. Well, she said her mother didn't like it until she started making money. She said once she started making six figures, then her mother was cool with it, too. So, like I said, I've kind of met women that cover the gamut. Like I said, I'd say the vast majority of women said that their father and their mother were pretty conservative and strict as far as the idea of them having sex as a teenager. But again, I'd say at least 10 to 15% of women I've either dated or just been friends with, they said they that their fathers, you know, they that's who they felt more comfortable. It's funny, matter of fact, just in the last, I would say, 10 years, I've met quite a few women in that category. There are quite a few women who actually have told me, similar to Diane DeVoe, that they feel more comfortable talking to their father about stuff to do with their love life and their sex life than they do their mother. And I always find that surprising because you would always think that a daughter would want to talk to a mother and the son would want to talk to his father. But a lot of times, yeah, a lot of women say their father, matter of fact, and I'm not going to say her name because I don't know if she wants this public to know, but there's a woman I met in Germany who told me something interesting. Ooh, this is really interesting. It kind of loosely relates to this subject. This one woman in Germany told me her uncle was the one who first told her about blowjobs. And I was like, really? She said, yep. She said once she became either 14 or 15, she said her uncle said, well, you know you're going to be around horny boys from this point forward, and a lot of them going to want to get in your pants, and I would suggest you avoid intercourse as long as possible, but you're going to probably have to satisfy them some way. So she said, uncle actually said, learn how to give hand jobs and blowjobs. Oh, man, that just really, it's hard to raise my eyebrows, but that actually raised my eyebrows. Yeah, she said her own uncle told her mother's, yeah, I think it was her mother's brother, told her when she was about 14, 15, said, yep. He didn't encourage her to have intercourse. He wanted her to stay a virgin as long as possible as far as intercourse. But, yeah, he was very liberal as far as oral sex and hand. He said, yeah, he said, you're going to be around horny boys, so you might as well start learning how to do hand jobs and blow jobs. So I found that interesting. But that's just another example of how some women have pretty frank discussions with their fathers or, in this case, their uncle. But, yeah, that's what I want to hear from today. So, again, I want to hear from men who have daughters who have an opinion about a teenage daughter having sex. Or I want to hear, and secondly, I want to hear from women who, when they were, who want to give me thoughts while reflecting on when they were between the age of 13 and 19, how their father was about the idea of them having sex. Well, you know, the big news is centering around Cleveland, Ohio. Man, sometimes movies cannot be more mind-blowing than real life. I mean, there was a guy who in Cleveland, Ohio, who had kidnapped a number of women. His name is Ariel Castro. Ariel Castro. And he is currently in jail facing kidnapping charges and rape charges. That's one thing to kidnap somebody for, say, a few days or a few weeks or maybe even a few months. This guy had women for over, I want to say at least two of the three women he had for over a decade. Man, can you imagine that? I mean, here I am talking about fathers and daughters. Man, if you were the father of a daughter who was kidnapped for 8, 9, 10 years? What the fuck, man? That's some crazy shit, man. That's some crazy ass shit. One of the women, Amanda Berry, she gave birth to a daughter while she was in captivity. Yeah, man. It just... like I said, stories like this, I mean, you couldn't make up a movie crazier than this. He lured women into his car and then held them. He chained them. He held them with ropes. Man. You just got to shake your head, man. You just got to shake your head. You know, I tell people all the time that when I go to the movies, there's very few monster movies that scare me. There may have been two or three over the years that have, you know, startled me at some point, but I don't get scared when I watch movies like with space aliens and monsters in it. But you know what movies that do leave me kind of shaken is movies that are about either that are about a real life person or a fictional person who's just fucking crazy. Crazy people scare me. Fuck monsters. Crazy people scare me. Because most of them look normal. Come on now. If you look over the years and most of the people who did crazy shit, if you look at their pictures, now some of them just look crazy. Like the dude who killed all them people in Aurora, Colorado, he looked crazy. He looked crazy. But there's been other people like Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy didn't look crazy. He looked like a normal dude. But he was a fucking misogynistic serial killer of women. He was fucking crazy. A lot of people, they look normal, but they crazy. And this dude, like, that's what his neighbor said, the guy who helped rescue him, Charles Ramsey. Remember that name, Charles Ramsey. Man, the dude is a character. Brother, man, brother from Cleveland. He helped free these women. But one of the comments he made, he said he thought his neighbor was like, you know, like just a normal dude. He didn't think he was crazy. But the dude was crazy. Just nuts. Man, I just don't get that. Yeah, just crazy. So that's why you got to watch out for somebody living next door to you right now could be just fucking crazy. I think somebody wrote a book. I think I had a guest on my show, matter of fact, who wrote a book called, if I'm not mistaken, The Social Path Next Door. Yeah, man, it's just a lot of crazy people, man. I mean, God bless them women, man, because they ain't going to never be the same. They ain't going to never be the same. Well, I got good news and bad news about my Bulls. My beloved Bulls, man. My Bulls, they won game one in Miami, which I was very happy. I was very excited. And then they turned around and suffered the worst loss in their history. Worst playoff loss in their history in game two. So that didn't rest well with me. There's rumors that Derrick Rose might be coming back on Friday. We shall see. Here's what I need to hear from Derrick Rose. I want either a definite yes or a definite no. I'm tired of all this, I might come back, I could come back, there's a glimmer of hope I might come back. I don't want to hear that. Either say I'm coming back or say no, I'm not coming back at all. Tired of the maybes, I might. Just tell me you either are or you're not. Don't get my hopes up high. Honestly, at this point, I don't know if Derrick Rose would benefit the chemistry of the team. When you come back this late in the season, you have the potential to disrupt the chemistry of the team. So I don't know. I mean, if he comes back, I don't know how that would be. I mean, I know Chicago would go crazy. I mean, if he just showed up in the game for, say, 2 minutes, I'm sure the fans in Chicago would just go fucking nuts. But yeah, I just hope they can. Number one, I want them to win the series, Number two, if they don't win the series, I want them to take it up to 7 games. I want it to go to game 7. You know, I don't want it to end in 5 games. I don't want it to end in 6 games. I want it to go the distance. I want it to go 7 games, and I want them to win. So there you go. There you go. And in other series, Golden State is making noise. When was the last time you ever heard of Golden State doing anything in the playoffs? But they're making noise. They split with San Antonio. And, yeah, they're going back to Golden State with a 1-1 split. And I think they might beat San Antonio. I think they might beat San Antonio. The New York Knicks are split with the Indiana Pacers. And Oklahoma is split with Memphis. So that's the NBA roundup for the week. And I know a lot of TV watchers are watching their shows tonight. I might not get a lot of live listeners because I know Person of Interest had their season finale tonight. I know Nelson in the chat room, he said he can't handle the suspense. Hey, man, I'm with you, Nelson. I can't handle it either. And speaking of Nelson, I forgot to give love to my listeners. You know I love all my listeners. I love all my listeners, but particularly I have love for my live listeners, and even more specifically, I have love for my chat room listeners. Yes, indeed, my chat room listeners. Right now I got Frankie, he called in, I think it was last week. He broke down some shit. He gave some good feedback. Young brother talking like he in his 40s or 50s. Dude is only like 25, 26, 27 years old. But he has that mature demeanor when he speaks, like he's, you know, like he's experienced life 2 or 3 times over. And, yeah, he contributed heavily to my show last week. So props to Frankie. I got Goofy Bone. Goofy Bone is in my chat room. Goofy Bone, I want to say, is a fellow Blog Talk Radio host. If I'm not mistaken, I've listened to his show a few times. They get provocative on his show if he still has a show. I got a guest. I got my good friend Michelle. What's up, Michelle? What's up, girl? What you doing, girl? What's up, Michelle? Michelle, I might have to hear from you tonight, too. Michelle gave some good feedback last week. She called in last week. She's been an avid listener of my show the last few weeks. And I appreciate her feedback and contributions when she calls in. And I might have to hear from her tonight. I want to hear how her father was with her when she was between 13 and 19. Did she have a liberal father, a real strict father, somewhere in between? Goofy Bone said his show is too. Yeah, Goofy Bone, I knew you had it, man. I've listened to your show before, bro. Man, I've listened. Guy named Jason Barnes, who used to, he's a friend of mine. He used to have his show. His nickname is 6ix9ine. He was the first one to tell me about your show. And I listened to your show, man. You had some crazy shit. I thought my show was provocative. Your show was more provocative than my show, man. But glad to see you in my chat room. But yeah, I've listened to your show at least 2 times, if not 3 times. And yeah, it was wild discussions. And anyway, but yeah, I got Nelson in my chat room. Nelson was saying he can't take the D-Rose suspense either, man. I mean, I love D-Rose, man. I love D-Rose. But man, I have one criticism against D-Rose. I don't like, and this relates to how I am with women. I told some guys in Germany. Most people think a maybe is always better than a no. You know, you learn that if you work in sales, that a maybe is better than a no. I'm probably one of the few people that disagrees with that. A yes is definitely greater than a no, but I put a no above a maybe. I don't like maybes. I don't like maybes. Like, I don't like when women say, I might have sex with you. I want a woman to either say, I'm definitely going to have sex with you, or I want a woman to say, I'm definitely not going to have sex with you. I'm cool with either or. I'm cool with either or. If you tell me, Alan, I'm definitely not going to have sex with you, I will say thank you, and then I will leave you the fuck alone. I'll leave you the fuck alone. But I do not like that maybe shit. And I don't like D-Rose doing this, I might come back. Fuck that, man. Either come bring your ass back or tell all of Chicago and your fans that you're not coming back until next year. That ain't hard. Just do one or the other. Tell them either I'm coming back on this day or tell them I'm not coming back until next year. My personal opinion, I think D-Rose should just wait until next year. I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him in game three. I don't. I mean, as much as I would love to, I just don't really think. I think it's too late for somebody to come back in the playoffs. I think if you're going to come back, you should come back in the regular season. Charles Barkley and Shaq said the same thing. They agree with me, so I'm in agreement with them. You know, if you're going to come back from injury, you need to come back in the regular season. But don't come back in the playoffs. I mean, but if I say this, if he does decide to come back in game three or game four, I will be cheering my ass off, but a part of me will be feeling like he made a mistake in doing that. Anyway, I'm going to take an intermission break, and then I am going to get my conversation started. Remember, I want to hear from you. My number is 646-478-5710. I cannot do this show unless I hear from you. See, there's two types of shows I do. There's shows where I have a specific invited guest, and then there's shows where I have what I call an open forum discussion. This is an open forum discussion, which means I need to hear from my listeners. So if you're a man and you have a daughter, preferably a daughter between 13 and 19, but if she's a little older than that, I'll still take your call. I want to hear from you. If you're a father with at least one daughter, I want to hear from you. If you're a woman and you want to tell me how your father was when you were between the ages of 13 and 19, I want to hear from you. So that's who I want to hear from. I will be right back after this intermission. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So, what can I tell you? I'm excited. I'm standing backstage and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago, and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind-blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there and he'll help people and help them and help them and just keep it. And he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people. And he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
To know what you said to the Japanese girl on roller skates.
I went up to her. I said, "You got a talent for this rollerblading thing." And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, "Yes, I love to rollerblade." I said, "Well, to be quite frank with you, I didn't give a fuck about rollerblading." I said, "Your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex?" And she was like, "Oh my God, I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses?" I was like, "Is that a trick question?"
Please visit www.mode1.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD.
Are you an expert and or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at Blog Talk Radio Advertising at mode1.net. That's MODEONE.net. Don't wait. Do it now.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network in the category of romance, dating and relationships. And tonight, what we're talking about is men who have a problem with the idea or notion of their teenage daughter being sexually active. That's what we're talking about tonight. If you're a man and you do not want your daughter who's between 13 and 19 to have sex, I want to hear from you. If that's a big issue with you, I want to hear. Now, if you don't care, if you're like, hey, I don't care what my daughter does, then, well, I guess I still want to hear from you too, but not as much. So if you're more open-minded, liberal-minded father, I want to hear from you too. But I definitely want to hear from the more strict fathers, fathers who are like, no way, my daughter better not. She better not be having sex, you know, at the young age of 13 to 19. Because, yeah, like I say this in my book. If you have my book, Ooh, Say It Again, I say if there's one thing that will bring out a man's sexual hypocrisy side, his hypocritical side, is you know good and well most men were having sex themselves between 13 and 19. Now, I'll say this. If you're a man and say you didn't start having sex until you were like, I don't know, 24, 25, 26, 27, and you want your daughter to wait to the same age, then I don't have any criticism of you. I mean, you got a right to demand that your daughter wait at least until you get started. But I mostly want to hear from guys who know good well that they were exchanging orgasms at the age of 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. But they got out their shotgun. They got their shotgun loaded, waiting for a guy to even think about having sex with their daughter in that same age group. That's who I want to hear from. And again, secondly, I want to hear from the women. If you're a woman listening to this show right now, I want you to tell me, how was your father when you were between the age of 13 and 19? How was your father between the age of 13 and 19 as it related to your love life and sex life? Was he super duper duper strict, or was he very liberal, or was he somewhere in between? You know, like I was already talking about how Diana DeVoe said her father let her do porn movies. Her father gave her the green light before her mother did. Now, she wasn't between 13 and 19, though. I think she was in her early to mid-20s when she started doing porn. But, again, if you want to listen to that interview, that's on my other show, Erotic Conversations. But you can find it here on Blog Talk Radio. Put in Erotic Conversationalist Diana DeVoe. And that's probably the one time I've talked about something related to this subject is, yeah, I was asking her what did her parents – well, no, another interview I had where I talked about parents related to their daughters having sex was when I interviewed the porn star Nina Hartley. I asked her what did her – now, also, she was older, too, when she started doing porn. She was in her 20s, I think. So not the same dynamic. Because like I said, most men – once their daughter gets to about 25, and definitely once they get to about 30, honestly, most fathers know their daughters are having sex. So when a woman gets of age, it ain't that big of a deal. So, yeah, if you got a daughter and she like 32 years old, if you think she ain't having sex, then you might need your head examined, because most women by no later than sometime between 25 and 30, unless they just super duper deeply religious, they having sex. Most women lose their virginity by no later than usually roughly 25. But when a man's daughter is between 13 and 19, I remember I was watching this episode of Oprah. And you need to watch this movie called 13. To do with this subject, I'm going to tell you the movie you need to watch. You need to watch this movie called 13. Look it up on IMDb. 13. That movie will, man, you will start watching your daughter's every move once you watch that movie. That movie was eye-opening. It was a movie. I don't think it was based on a true story, but it might as well have been, because I'm sure there are a lot of women. It stars this woman. She's a great actress. Her name is Evan Rachel Wood. She was in the movie with George Clooney and Ryan Gosling, the political movie. God, I can't think of the name of that movie. Yeah, but her name is Evan Rachel Wood, and basically, it's about this young girl who's 13 years old, and her parents are going through a divorce. You know, divorces are usually hard on the kids. And so she has a tough time dealing with her parents going through a divorce. So she starts hanging around this classmate. You know how you hear people say about certain kids, they'll say that kid is 12 going on 25, or that kid is 15 going on 30, basically saying that they have a manner of behavior and a manner of speech that's beyond their years. Well, this girl whose parents are getting divorced starts hanging around this other 13-year-old girl who's like way, way out there. I mean, she's way out there. I mean, she's already like doing threesomes and orgies and shit, and she's like 13 years old. And so, of course, she has an influence on the girl whose parents are going through a divorce. That's why most parents are usually kind of funny about who their kids hang around, sons and daughters. I know my parents were always, especially my mother, she always wanted me to hang around, you know, what she called quality kids. You know, kids who she felt were raised with the same values and ethics that, you know, that she was trying to instill in me and my brother. But anyway, going back to this movie, yeah, man, That movie was off the chain. Anyway, Oprah did a follow-up show related to the movie. She saw the movie and she wanted to discuss it. On that show, again, I said this early in the show tonight, It takes a lot to raise my eyebrows. It's not too much to raise my eyebrows. But Oprah was interviewing these girls that ranged as from as young as 11 to as old as like 17, 18. Man, times have changed, man. Times have changed because these girls, a lot of the girls said they started having sex at 10, 11, 12 years old. I was like, you are kidding me. They were having sex at 10, 11, 12 years old. And not only sex, one-on-one sex, but these girls were having orgies. Like Oprah asked at one point, she said, what is a rainbow party? And all the girls started looking at each other and kind of smiling and laughing, giggling. And then one girl said, okay, a rainbow party is when you have maybe like five different girls at a party and they wear different color lipstick and they take turns giving the boys blowjobs. And Oprah looked at the camera like, what the fuck? I looked at the TV like, what the fuck? These were like, we're not talking about women of age. We're talking about girls that were like 11, 12, 13 years old. Talking about they wear different color lipstick to take turns giving boys head. You know, some of the guys I've talked to over the years, because I've been involved in different mentoring programs and whatnot, one thing that the guys tell me that you could say arguably has changed, I think when I was young, you had some aggressive women, for sure, but I think the higher percentage would probably be the guys. The guys were probably the more hornier and sexually aggressive. But, you know, when I talk to guys nowadays who were high school age or even college age, they say that the girls are actually more aggressive than the guys. I've heard that from quite a few guys. They tell me, they say, Mr. Curry, man, girls in our age group, they are the ones who try to get in the boys' pants more so than vice versa. My mother used to call those fast-ass girls. That was her name for girls who were really sexually aggressive. She said, oh, those fast-ass girls. Yeah. But now I'm going to hit the phone lines. I want to hear from two types of people. I want to hear from fathers who have, number one, just fathers who have daughters, period. And more specifically, fathers who have daughters between the age of 13 and 19. What are your thoughts? How would you respond? How would you react if your daughter came to you and told you that she was sexually active? Or maybe she came to you and told you she wanted to be. She wasn't yet, but she, say, was in love with some boy at school and that she wanted to start having sex. And then I want to hear from women who have daughters. I mean, women who want to talk about how their father was when they were between ages of 13 and 19. Right now, I see a number of people in my phone queue, but not all of them have their let me know that you have something to say, you got to press the number one. Otherwise, I'll assume you're just in my phone queue listening. So if you have something to say, please press the number one, because right now I got about 12 people in my phone queue, but only one is giving me the signal that they have something to say, and that is area code 843. Area code 843, you're now upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your first name?
You know who this is, T. Smitty. What's going on?
T. Smitty, what's up, man? I saw you come in earlier when Alex posted about the show. Now,
yeah.
So first question to you, do you have any daughters?
I don't have kids, period. I got a goldfish. but you know, Al, I gotta say this. First things first, I'm a Bulls fan too. I think the team should take it out of Derek's hanger. Derek's still a young man. People gotta understand, this still a kid. And he's from the city. And he feel like he wants to try to run through a wall for that city. They just say, hey, sit it down. Because you remember, Gilbert Arenas came back earlier that year. He ain't been the same since. But,
yep. That's a good point.
But let's go back to your question. Let's go. But I don't have kids, but I had a cousin. Female cousin started college a couple years ago, and I talked to her about sex. And the thing was is that I told her, her auntie, I said, hey, well, I'm going to talk to her, but I'm going to use some language, and I'm going to tell the truth. And I said that I want to tell the truth because I said that a lot of parents are delusional and believing their kids ain't having sex. Now, first, I ain't going to lie. People hate when I say this. Where were these parties at when I was a kid? You know?
Boy, you a bestie, Smitty. You a bestie.
But you know,
hey, where were the rainbow parties when I was growing up? Hey, man, that tripped me out, dude. And I think you know me well enough to know ain't too much that'll make me, you know, blush or make me raise my eyebrows. But when I was watching the episode of Oprah that day, man, I was tripping out, man, because these girls, man, they was doing stuff that at say, 11, 12, 13, and most women I knew weren't doing it until they was at least 18, 19, or 20.
And they getting it in now.
And they was talking about on that lunch hour. They said, because Oprah said, when do you have these orgies? They said, usually it's on our lunch hour or like right after school if one of the boys or one of the girls' parents works late and they not going to be home. We just go over to the house and we have like these like mini orgies and stuff. And the parents, it was funny because some of the parents in the audience didn't know it until they were saying it. Like some of them, when they were interviewed, said they knew that their daughter was doing these things. But I'd say at least a third of the parents, that was their first time hearing it. And, yeah, it was a trip. So anyway, but going back to you, I'm sorry for interrupting. But as
that's
you were saying,
cool. Your show. It's a thing. I feel like parents have got to not be delusional and just realize their kids are going to have sex anymore. Even the parents say no, yes or no, they're going to do it regardless. Hell, we did it regardless as kids, you know.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I told her, I was like, sex is like alcohol. Do it responsibly. You get in trouble when you're not responsible with it. I said, damn what that boy says. Because I said, she was like 17, started college. I said, let's say it's a 17-year-old boy. You get pregnant. Where the hell are you going to work at? Sonic? So how are you going to take, how are you going to buy diapers working at Sonic? So think about that. All right. And I said, do you want to lose your education and set yourself back in life? Not enjoy your fun. College, you have fun. Both have been to college. You have a lot of fun. You make friends to have a date. You can see the world. There's a lot of stuff that you experience while you're in college. And still that carefree attitude as well. Do you want to give that up? And I told her, hey, I said, I can't stop you. But there are a myriad of birth control. And he doesn't want to put on a condom. That shows that he doesn't, not only doesn't give a damn about you or a possible kid, he doesn't give a damn about himself. Cause he don't know what anyone's carrying. And I said, do you want an irresponsible man as a father of your kid? Now, I said, I'm not going to stop you from having sex. But I'll just let you know that, hey, you got your birth control map that's out there. I said that also, you don't want to give up your life. I'm trying to make sure I ain't miss anything. And I was telling her, I was like, these dudes try to put you on camera. You know, do you want, I said, and I told her this, if you're going to do it, do you want to give it up for a guy who doesn't give a damn about you or a guy that will take a bullet for you? You know? And she looked at me like no one ever told her. I said, yeah. I said, not once this conversation have I told you not to do it. But I said, you're going to do what you want to regardless. But I'm just telling you the truth about how life is, how hard it is. I said, your mama had two kids, you and your sister, and no father around. You see how hard life is for that. You know, she having to pay for everything herself. She didn't finish college. You know, not saying y'all fought anything, but that is how life turns. She loves y'all to death, but it's how life turns its ugly head at times. And I was saying is that you grow and do what you want, but at the same time, now you know what the ramifications are for making those if you decide to go unprotected. You know.
Okay, that was good. Well, you know what's funny about your advice, though? Now, you know I got to play a little bit of devil's advocate.
Yeah.
You were telling your younger cousin to be responsible and basically hook up with the right guys. But here's what I found over the years, and I'm sure you probably observed this too, is that I don't know too many guys that were what I would call good guys who ended up getting a girl pregnant at a young age, there was a handful.
Yeah.
But it was usually the guys that were the, for lack of a better word, the loser types.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes back to some of the shows we've talked about on the episodes we've talked about on this very show about, you know, women who lean towards the quote unquote bad boys and the jerks and the asshole types. Shoot, I'm with all this shoot. Like when I was in high school, man, all the like thug type brothers was the ones that had two or three kids before they was out of high school.
Yeah.
And
also told Alan. And I said something going to be very unpopular to single moms listening. I said, if you cry, you think you're going to have a kid, you think you can still have your pick of the litter, you got to twist it. Because I said, no man desires taking care of another man's kid. Now, he may just do it, but ain't no man saying he desires it. And the more kids you have, and if you have about multiple guys, the less quality of man you're going to get. You're going to end up getting the guy that probably parked my car in Scottsdale last weekend when I went out. You know, I told her that. You know, because I said, you don't want to be a settle. You want to be with someone. Now, I understand you're like 35, 30 and up. You know, most time folks have kids, stuff like that. That's one thing, you know. But not when you're early 20s, you know. And the thing is, you're right about those losers. And that's why I was trying to tell her a certain way. I was like, we all know those colleges. The 18-year-old girls on campus. Then you got 27-year-old guys don't even have a job, always hanging around. And I told her, that's why I said the guy's a loser working at Sonic or somewhere. He can't do nothing for you or a kid. Nor does he probably even care. You know, so I was just like, hey, if you'll get with a guy, get with a responsible dude who has a future for himself as well, and you. And I say, you don't have to tie down and be all in love. You know, you date, you can have fun, travel with your friends. You don't have to worry about settling down, getting married. Worry about getting your education first. I say, you have plenty of time for love.
Yeah. Yeah. Truth.
Hey, Alan, I got a question for you. When you were in college, I told you this also. You probably seen this as well. So you go see girls start out the freshman year, first semester, second semester, they ain't there because they got a baby.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know a few women. I ain't going to say a whole lot, but there was definitely a few women that, yeah, either freshman year or their sophomore year, yeah, they ended up having to drop out of school because they got pregnant. And I knew one. She actually stayed in school. She ended up moving into what was called at IU. They had this section called the trailers. It was like a basically like a trailer park near the school. And she stayed in school, but she moved in trailers. But yeah, man, a lot of girls got pregnant. Yeah, their freshman sophomore year, the first time away from. I remember I talked to there was a young lady I went to college with. And I knew her father. Her father was actually a minister.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I ran to him at the hospital, and we got to talk about different things. And actually, we ended up talking about kind of at least, if not the subject specifically, close to it. I basically was asking him, I said, man, you know, how, I said, because I got a couple friends that got daughters, you know, who are raising their daughters. And I said, what was your secret to raise your daughters? And what he ended up saying is, he said it's a balancing act. He basically said he felt like you couldn't be on one extreme or the other. He said if you're too strict, your daughter's going to rebel. And as soon as they leave home, particularly as soon as they go to college, they're going to have sex just to spite you because you were so strict. But on the flip side, he said you can't be too lenient. And you can't be, you know, too permissive because, you know, that's almost like encouraging them to go out and have sex. So he said it's like walking a tightrope somewhere in the middle. What he basically said, he told his daughters was, one area he was firm. He said, if you get pregnant, I'm not going to be your permanent babysitter. I'm not going to raise your kids for you. This is going to be on if you decide to open your legs and you decide to get pregnant outside the context of marriage, and particularly at a young age, he told him, you're going to take care of that baby. And he made that seem like it was going to be such a burden that it kind of intimidated his daughters not to want to have a baby, you know, out of wedlock. But
I like that. I like that. Yeah. My mom told my sister to do that. I was 13, I was still 11. She told us, we should take our dad's house, and she told us straight up, I'm not going to try to stop y'all, because, you know, she working, dad working, stuff like that. But, you know, our protection, she said, you want to have a baby? Hey, she took it one step further. She ain't, the baby ain't going to be there because my mom don't babysit. She don't babysit my nephews. You know, she's not good with screaming babies. So what happened? She said, I will move. Hey, you want to have a kid in high school? You will move over there. Y'all be a family together over there. You know, and I believe that right there is one key. Because so many kids think, well, my mom and dad, they'll watch the baby while I still go out and I go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if you want to act like a grown-up, I'm going to have to treat you like a grown-up. Because once you have that baby, childhood is over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Well, all right, brother, man. I always love hearing from you, man. And you my Bulls fan, you know, in spirit. So go Bulls, man.
Go Bulls. Thanks for taking my call. And I tell you this, I'm just happy we didn't get swept. I'm good. you take it easy. Thanks for taking my call, brother.
Oh, no problem. No problem. All right, T. Smitty. That's T. Smitty, one of my favorite listeners. He always calls the show. I got a few more calls. I see area code 312. I think I know who this is. No. 312 dropped. I got 630. Wait. Okay, well, I'll go with 630 now. 630. You're now. Mic is open. You're up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your first name?
Deanne.
Deanne?
Yeah.
How you doing, Deanne?
Okay, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Well, you know what? I'm going to ask you, Deanne. I'm going to ask you along the lines of what we're talking about tonight. When you were between 13 and 19, how was your father towards the idea of you having sex?
If I did anything like that, it would be in the box.
You said, I couldn't hear you. What'd you say?
I would have been in the grave, in the box, in Burrow Cemetery. There was none of that going on. See, I'm an old lady, and I'm a talk show host, too, and I'm listening to you. I'm glad you're doing this show.
Well,
the thing I have to ask you, if people listening, is this. You're saying that what should the men tell the girls? Now, shouldn't there be some kind of realm of responsibilities for these dudes to go out and just have one kid and another one over there and another one over there and just kind of like, you know, lay up and move around and ain't got no job, no incentive, and they feel like they're in some, I don't know where they're at. Okay, I'm just asking you as a brother. The young girl that you're talking to, okay, you're talking to her about, okay, well, if you do this, then it's okay as long as somebody's wearing protection. But you know how men are, too. If a man knows a woman has been with multiple partners, he don't want to have nothing to do with her. And if he does, that's not marrying material because there's always a question in his mind. Will she go out and cheat later on?
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is, you know, on the real side, shouldn't men have a little bit more responsibility towards these women?
Oh, well, I think that goes without saying. But if you heard me talking to T. Smitty, here's what I said when I told him I was going to play devil's advocate. When I was in high school, I don't know too many guys who had, let's say, quote-unquote, good head on their shoulders, had a bright future in front of them. I don't know too many of those guys who had a baby out of wedlock. There might have been, like, you know, a handful, maybe two, three, something like that. But the guys who, if I was a father, that I would probably most want my daughters to stay away from was the guys who the women was opening their legs for and getting pregnant by. Guys who was on the verge of flunking out of high school if they hadn't already flunked out. And, you know, that relates to another discussion I've had on the show about, you know, we've had these shows about women who like bad boys and guys with an edge and that type of thing. And that dynamic definitely went on in high school because, yeah, I knew a lot of guys who were, like, thuggish or at least semi-thuggish. They had, like, 2, 3, 4 kids, a lot of them, before they was out of high school. And but to answer your question, yeah, fathers should have talks with their sons. Mothers should have, I mean, my father, now I will be honest, my father never discouraged me from having sex when I was in high school, but he definitely encouraged me to be responsible, you know, as far as like, you know, wearing condoms. Same with my mother. My mother, she wanted me and my brother in her utopian world, she wanted us to wait till marriage. But I think realistically, she knew that wasn't going to happen. So similar to my father, she just preached about being sexually responsible.
Yeah, but let me just ask you this. Now, how about, what can you say to these women out here that got baby daddy, mama daddy things going on? You know, the bottom line is that what can they say? There's, you know, how are they going to say something to their daughter when their daughter's looking at the past? And then the fathers aren't involved. So how do these girls have a chance right now? So we got a whole generation of baby daddy, mama things going on that's going to another generation.
Oh, what I agree.
What's going to happen with the future on that? I mean, this is going to be a nightmare.
I agree. You know, the first time I realized that we had had a shift in our way of thinking was that when my father was in a nursing home, I remember there was these nursing assistants, and they were all ranged from anywhere from 19 to maybe, you know, I'll say 19 and up. In this particular group, it was a group of women, I would say they were all in their 20s, and I used to kind of laugh with them and joke with them. And anyway, one day they said, one of them just looked at me, and she said, "Why you ain't married?" No, she didn't. I take that back. No, my mother, my late mother had made a comment to the fact that she wished I would find a nice woman and get married. And they kind of giggled. And then one said, "You ain't got to be married." And, of course, to my mother's ears, from her generation, that was like a foreign concept. But they was all like, it was three of them, and they all was like, "Shoot, all he need is a baby mama. He don't need no wife. He just need a baby mama." And I was like, whoa. And they were dead serious. Their attitude was, marriage is played out. You don't need to be married to have no kid. They was like, all he need is a baby. They said, they were talking to my mother. They said, "Mrs. Curry, all your son need is a good baby mama. That's what he need. He don't need no wife." And I was just like, damn. But like I was saying in the early, I don't know if you were listening to the early part of the show, one thing, you know, I work with a couple of mentoring programs, and I get to talk to, you know, a lot of young guys. Another shift that's been happening, according to them, is that they said nowadays the girls in the high school age girls are 2 to 3 times more sexually aggressive than the boys. You know, back in the day, it was fathers telling their daughters stay away from the boys, but now this, you got mothers telling their sons stay away from these girls. Because I had one guy, he said, "Mr. Curry," like he said, "I went to the prom." He said, "I had no intentions of having sex with my date, but he said she basically tried to date rape me on prom night." I said, "Get out of here." He said, "I'm serious." He said she was trying to take off my clothes. He said, she was like, "We having sex tonight. You better believe we having sex tonight." I was like, damn.
But
so,
you know, what you're talking about is a true fact. And see, now, you know, you got that. But the thing is scary right now is that you got a situation right now in the black culture. We're not realizing. These young women don't have no money to support themselves. And there ain't no way these young men are going to get no support, because most of them are, if they ain't in prison, they're close to, and there's no jobs for them, because right now the de-education of black community is right here in our face. So you got young women and young men that don't have a chance with some kids. So now what's going to happen? You know, we're looking at a very scary situation that somebody's got to take a grip of and start, you know, figuring out a different solution in what we're saying to our young people, the ones that are around us in our house. I don't know what to say because this is alien to me. I mean, this stuff just, like, popped up in the last, about 20 years it started getting real bad. Well, maybe 30 years back it started getting real bad.
Now, do you have daughters?
I have one, yeah.
How old is your daughter?
27 now.
She's 7?
27.
27. Okay.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you, when she was between 13 and 19, how did you handle her sexuality?
Oh, that was the most hardest thing I had ever seen. It was something like species. I can't even describe it. I had never seen nothing like that. You know, and it's not just, it was that whole generation.
Wait a minute, before you go on. You said that was like species, that movie? See, lucky I saw that movie. I get that joke. Most people ain't going to get that joke. You said it was like species. I'm going to tell my listeners before I let you go on. Listeners, if you saw a movie, there was this sci-fi movie called Species, where this woman, she looked like a normal, healthy woman, but she was really like an alien, and she needed a man's sperm in order to unleash her alien side. And there's this one scene where she's in this, like, glass cage, and whenever a man who had testosterone flowing in his blood was even remotely near her, she became, like, super-duper horny to the point where she, like, just wanted to break the glass. She was so horny for male sperm. So, anyway, that's what she meant when she said it was like species. Because I remember that scene in that movie. Because the doctors who came in, if you remember, they was like, I can't remember the exact words, but it's to the fact, like, damn, she that damn horny?
But listen. That is not a strange thing today. So that movie is no different than what we're looking at right now. I mean, I was in the Chicago public schools, and I saw this stuff. Little kids having sex in the closet in school. You report it. Tell the teachers, like, yeah, whatever, you know. They go report it. It was crazy. So the thing is that what's going on with us now that we're doing different than what the other generation, previous generation was doing, and how can we straighten this mess out? Because like now, I'm telling you, these folks out here ain't going to have no public aid in a minute. There ain't going to be no food stamps. Forget Section 8. Where are all these people going to go? Now, am I lying on that? What is your opinion of that?
Well, so what you're saying is a lot of women are taking it for granted that once they get pregnant, they'll be taken care of by public assistance. And you saying that there's a chance that that might be cut off. Well, I've seen that. This was some years now. I was watching this show. God, was it on PBS or was it on network? It was like a news program show. And they were interviewing these young people, and particularly young girls, who grew up like basically on welfare. And it was sad because they interviewed at least two girls who they didn't have any aspiration themselves beyond welfare. They were basically looking forward to being on welfare themselves. And one girl, that was her motivation for wanting to have babies. She said, because for every baby she had, she got that much more welfare. And it was just sad. I mean, it had me just...
Well, see, that was back in the day, but today... Okay, they get like $900 trillion of food stamps, and they ain't get no aid cash-wise. They done cut that off, okay? So they can't afford housing. Section 8 housing is like gone. There's not, you know, they got to move around to find it. So now you got them going trying to get child support for people that don't work. The people that don't work have got more kids out there and more kids. And the thing is that the lack of responsibility is falling on these young women. So now, what is it now? Okay, Grant, you said something earlier and was really intense. You said that these young men don't want to take care of other people's kids. Okay.
No, that was Pete Finney said that.
Yeah, they don't. They don't. They come in here and see, oh, okay, you got a whole bunch of kids. They're not my kids, and I'm going to do that. So if they are responsible and they try, you know, there's all kinds of drama and trauma. There's YouTube videos on that. I've been watching YouTube videos of what black men have been saying about this situation. And it's really bad because there's some real decent men, and they see these girls, and they're trying to help them. And a lot of these girls get on the fence because they do have the kids, and they're trying to raise the kids, and they get mad if somebody else sends something else to the kids. And then the guy feels that he's being burdened his responsibility on other people set the kids. So now these women are out here with nobody at all. And they're actually decent women, but they were led astray at, like, some of them could be as young as 10, 12 years old. Some of them are 15, 20 years old. They get led astray. So, what, you know, what is it that can be, you know, this is a real hardcore question. What can be done? You know, the grandmother's trying to look at this thing realistically, the grandfather's trying to look at it realistically. You got a high death ratio of grandparents because they're stressed out.
Well, one thing I tell you that needs to be done, and this is based on previous conversations on this very show, I've had a number of, like, sex therapists and sex experts on my show that I've interviewed, and one of their criticisms, they said, is that a lot of parents do not talk to their children about sex. Like, I had a woman just write that in the chat room today. She said her father never talked to her about sex. He just tried to ignore it and act like it would just go away. And that's what a lot of parents do, according to these sex experts. And they said that's the worst thing you could do, is because they said them kids are going to learn about sex somehow. If they don't learn about it from you, the parent, they're going to learn about it from a TV show. They're going to learn about it from their peers and whoever else they come in contact with. And but, yeah, they said a lot, based on their research and their surveys, et cetera, because I've met a lot of women who told me, I'd say at least no less than 25% of women I've known in my life, my adult life, have told me that when they were young, that neither one of their parents had an open discussion with them about sex. I had at least
That's true, because, see, if you go to the older generation, it was something you never really talked about. You know, your parents didn't say nothing, so you don't say nothing. And then around the 70s and 80s, they started saying, okay, let's do it through the schools. And who knows what the schools were teaching, because evidently whatever was going on in there has caused something, you know, maybe to go rampant. I don't know, but then you got the schools teaching that. Then you got the music videos. You know, look at the girls on the music videos. Look at the 14-year-olds out there. The 14-year-olds try to look like Beyonce. You know, that's even old school. They got new ones out. So you got the 14, 15-year-olds trying to bounce around like that, wearing almost the same identical clothing. Who's saying anything to them? They're not looking like kids. I mean, these kids that are 12, 13 years old, they look like they're 19, 18 years old.
Oh, yeah.
So now these dudes go out there, they don't know what they're dealing with. And then when they're dealing with it, they're like, oh, wow, you know, whoa, I didn't know that. And then they bounce somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, I got to go ahead and take another call, but I appreciate you calling into my show and expressing some good points and asking some good questions.
It's a good show. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much. And I'm going to take one more call before I go to my intermission break. Usually I've taken my first intermission by now, but so I've gone deep without taking my first intermission. But I recognize this number, area code 312, you're now up front and straightforward with Allen Roger Curry. Who's this? 312. Hello. 312. Going once. Going twice. 312. It looked like you're there, but you must have stepped away from the phone or something. Anyway, I'm going to take an intermission break, and when I get back, we will continue this discussion. Again, the discussion is about fathers who do not want their daughters, who are between the ages of 13 and 19, having sex. Men who do not want their daughters, who are between the ages of 13 and 19, having sex. That is our discussion, and I will be right back in a few moments. So don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Oh, I got to remind you, if you call into my show, well, first, the number is 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. And if you call in, press the number 1, and that lets me know that you have something to say. That lets me know that you have something to say. So, wait a minute now. Oh, wait. Hold on a second. Hold on. Hold on. Look like I was having some. Am I having technical difficulties again? I hope not. Okay, no. Oh, man, that scared me. I thought I was having technical difficulties again. All right, I'll be right back.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Cunahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist. So I'm getting treated for
my sex disease. This is Nikki True, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Brandy L. Davis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.com. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310-310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, thank you, Master Alan.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Alan.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Alan.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
tuning in. It's nice to see you all again. So,
if you found this page, I'm guessing at least on some level you'd like more success.
Seducing sexy ladies. Here's the deal.
My name's Sasha. Hello. And I like women.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
This website has tons of resources to help you guys get that success that you want. It's all there for you. The articles, the videos, my blog, with lots of adventures and tips, it's all there for you guys.
Let's make the magic happen.
If you're interested in some more intense training, take one of my boot camps. They are fucking good. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm doing boot camps all around the world, so I might be coming to your city.
I would love to come over there and teach you this stuff because it's awesome. And you learn how to meet tons of hot girls. If you're in London, this is the guy. He's going to take good care of you. He's really present in the moment. He's really good. He hooks up with tons of girls. Good teacher and just somebody you want to hang out with and learn from. Oh, so many names.
It's my first name and my sister name.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, I will see you.
You will?
Soon. Ryan.
Ryan. Me too.
Over the last few years, I've dedicated my life to getting good in a sort of fun and natural way of meeting women in the daytime.
What are you doing actually in your free time? What's your goal?
I meet beautiful girls on the streets. You know. Chap girls on the street. Sound test? Sound test 1, 2, 3, 4. Sexy man. Hi. Can I get a little fist action? We're filming. It's one little fist. Just come on. You know you want to. You know you want to fist me right now. Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, check out the bootcamp page if you're interested in that.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's useful to you. So please.
Sasha at sashapway.com. Thanks for coming to the site and...
Stop being a fucking... come on, people. She's there in front of you. That's the only indicator of interest you need. She's there. You're there. Go for it.
Please pay a visit to www.sashapua.com.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my open forum discussion about fathers who do not want their teenage daughters having sex just yet on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network in the category of romance and dating and relationships. I want to give a couple shout outs. I see Christian Parada is in my chat room once again. Christian Parada, welcome. Better late than never. Frankie, who I already gave a shout out to, Frankie's in my chat room. Michelle Herlick is in my chat room. Nelson is in my chat room. I got T.O. Fire in my chat room. I didn't give my normal shout-outs, did I, at the beginning of the show? My older brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. My younger cousins, J.P. Jones in Chicago, Christopher Curry in Detroit, at the bar in Maplewood, New Jersey. Philip Pulliam and his older brother, Irvin. V. Pulliam III, EVP3, who's in town from Seattle. He's one of my most good, loyal listeners and good friends from childhood. He's visiting, hooking up with his mom for Mother's Day. He always listens to the show. He's listening tonight. He has a daughter. Now, she's beyond the 13 to 19 range, but not by too far. I think she's only 20, 21, maybe 22 at most. But, yeah, He's listening to the show. Other shouts to be Vanessa Turner, Edie Lee Harris, all the females in my female supporter group on Facebook. I got about 350 women that are in what's called my female supporters group. They support Mo One and my shows. Now, it's interesting, in the chat room, I saw some people, like Christian, he admitted that his parents never really talked about sex. T.O. Fire said his parents never talked about sex. A number of, again, I've talked to different women over the years who told me that their mother and father never really talked to them about sex. Or if they did, it wasn't like in a really frank, detailed manner. They kind of gave them like maybe a 5-minute conversation. And that's been one of the criticisms of the sex experts who I've had on my show. They say not enough parents talk to their children about sex. And if that's the case, that's a damn shame. I'm going to bring in another caller, and I know who this caller is. Area code 312, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Is this Jay?
JK.
JK in the house. Listeners, this is my close friend. We've been friends since college, fraternity brother of mine. And it's interesting to be talking to him because he exactly fits the demographic of what I'm talking about. He has two daughters, both between ages of 13 and 19, and that's who I was targeting with this discussion. And I know how much he loves his daughters and how protective he is. So, JK, I'm just going to start with some frank questions. What do you like even entertaining the idea of either one of your daughters having sex before they turn 21?
I mean, come on. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
as you say, I mean, it's a touchy, very touchy subject, naturally. And you can call me hypocritical about the aspect of it, but it is what it is. It's just, I mean, the gentleman, 843, I believe, area code.
Yeah, that was
both of you guys kind of. Both of you guys did a good job covering, I would say, 90% of what most educated professional men with daughters, you know, we have the same stance, and that is, as long as your daughters, I think the key is for them to have goals and know exactly what they want to achieve in life post-college. You know, naturally, right now you're looking at undergrad and directly damn near into grad school. So as long as they are eyeing that prize, That pretty much achieves 80% of, as a parent, of what you're trying to convey. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Good point. And, well, it's funny because that goes back to when I was, I think I was talking to T. Smitty, when I said that a young lady who I went to college with, well, actually, you know this young lady, but I don't want to say her name on air. I want to out her father, but her father was a minister, and I ran into my hospital, and he said something similar to what you just said. He said his thing with his two daughters was, if you end up getting pregnant, that's going to throw off your goals. Because he said his attitude was, he said, you never, as a father of daughters, he said, you never want to get an impression that if they get pregnant, that it's going to hurt you, the father. Because then that causes them to shift responsibility. He's like, no. It ain't going to mess up my life. My life is already unfolded as it unfolded. It's going to take away from your focus on what you want to do.
Well, Alan, basically, in what the reverend, the preacher was saying, is that you have to paint the picture, a realistic picture of what life is when you decide to have sex and a baby is born. Reality is, this is what you're going to have to do day in, day out. You can't glamorize it. You can't put it off on anyone else, family members. This is what you have to do in order to raise a child. Thereby, you're going to miss out on all these wonderful things about life. There's a time to have a baby, but in your late teens, early 20s, sometimes mid-20s, it's not the time. And going back to that conversation, and no, my parents didn't really cover it either. It was like one of those, maybe a bullet diagram, couple of bullet points, and they moved on. You know what I'm saying? That was it. 5-minute discussion, and good luck. But I think the conversation is very important. We have all the data. We have all the information. There's certain aspects of life, responsibility. We have to discuss with our children the ramifications of sex. You know, we need to cover the whole nine. But what that gentleman had pointed out earlier, I think you were paraphrasing someone else. It is a fine balance because you and I were at IU together, and I took full advantage of all the women who had strict parents. I was just I had radar on them.
I appreciate your candor on here.
You cannot be overly strict. Okay, at the same time, like you had indicated, you can't soft talk it either. You have to be well balanced. But the main thing is open communication, and you have to have direct communication regarding the pluses and minuses of sex, whether protected, unprotected. You got the STDs. You got a lot of things that go into it. And I did like the way the 843. T. Smitty, whatever, kind of where he drew a conclusion, or I'm sorry, he referenced drinking alcohol to having sex. That was a real good analogy.
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah. And the thing, well, number one, I'm going to compliment you, and of course I'm biased because I'm your friend. But I think it's important for a father to be active in their daughter's lives, and particularly during that phase, 13 to 19, because number one, just the presence of a father, like, I always hear people use this phrase about shotgun weddings. Well, actually, you don't hear it too much these days, but back in the day, most guys were intimidated to even think about getting the girls pregnant because the father was such a presence that he had this underlying demeanor that if you get my daughter pregnant, you might as well plan on proposing to her. And guys respected that. And I think women benefit from someone like you's knowledge, your wisdom. You know how guys are. You know how they can smooth talk. And so for your daughters to have you available to be able to ask you questions and get feedback from you and, if nothing else, you just telling one of your daughters, hey, every guy who tells you that he loves you, 3/4 of them guys are lying. They just trying to get in your pants. And matter of fact,
No. We all know it's the smooth ones you got to watch out for, and that's what I tell my daughters all the time. You know, be careful with those smooth talkers. But the key is going back to your point is as a father, being active, and also you're modeling your behavior. I mean, you're being the quintessential dad. I think is key, and that is, of course, using that. I'm going back to that balance word, and that is. In all aspects, as a professional, as a father, being spiritual with them, the whole gamut, you have to be well-balanced, well-versed, so that when they are interacting with the opposite sex or a guy that comes around, you're talking to the guy, you're talking about various issues. He knows that you're not like that guy in that Cleveland interview who's, you know, but basically you're well educated, you're well versed, you're keeping your eye on this guy, you know. But the key is, you know, your daughters are observing their fathers in terms of how they are. So they tend to date. I mean, you know, I've heard this all throughout my life, that daughters tend to date guys like their fathers.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've heard that quite often, and I've had quite a few women that have even told me that they either consciously or sometimes subconsciously.
Oh, subconsciously.
They sought out guys who were, you know, had a lot of attributes that were similar to their father. So,
yeah.
So
Alan, this is a touchy subject, man. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, bro. I appreciate you calling in. Like I said, you fit my demographic perfectly, which, you know, I know both your daughters. I remember when they was just little things crawling all around the couch and I got to tell my listeners a funny story. I was over at JK's house. And he gave his oldest daughter a couple of dollars. And I don't know if you thought the youngest daughter was paying attention, but she was. And she could barely talk, but she said, "Where's my monies? Where's my monies?" Oh, man, I was hollering. That's one of my favorite memories of your daughters together, is when the little one said, "Where's my monies?" But, yeah, you got two beautiful daughters. They're both intelligent and articulate, and I'm sure the sky's going to be the limit for them. And you've been a great father to them, and I appreciate you calling in and expressing your viewpoints.
Yeah, so far they're doing well, knock on wood. In closing, I will say this about Derrick Rose. I was at the game, and I was in a suite actually watching and observing when he broke his whatever. I knew then, as I know today, I knew he's going to be out all this year, and I'm with you guys, it shouldn't be any gray. He should have told everybody all along, I'm not coming back till next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, man, because it's been driving me crazy, man, his, this, you know, offering that glimmer of hope, man. That's the only criticism I have on, man.
Well,
is that...
I'll say this. You know, I used to have the season tickets.
I remember.
The Bulls management, basically, for the ticket holders, I mean, for them and for their sake, hell, 70% why they have season tickets is because of Derrick Rose, so you got to give them a little glimmer. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, so, you know, you got to give them hope. But he's going to take a little bashing for this. But, I mean, I think the ones that are in a circle know that he's not coming back till next year. So.
Okay, I appreciate that perspective, man. That makes you think. Okay, yeah, business is business. All right, bro, man, much love and respect to you.
Love your show, bro.
Thank you. That was my good buddy, JK, and now before I wrap up, I'm going to take one more call, and that will be from my new listener, Michelle, who's been listening to my show the last few weeks. Michelle, how are you?
I'm good, Alan. How are you?
Oh, don't be trying to use your sexy voice on me. You know you're bad.
I'm not trying.
No, she said I'm not trying. I just naturally have a sexy voice calling me from Australia. You Aussies, I love you Aussies down under. But so I saw where you mentioned in the chat room that your father, you said your father just didn't want to talk about sex. He just hoped it would not be brought up, not be discussed. So he never had the extensive birds and bees talk with you.
No, not at all. In fact, I mean, he would make jokes every now and then, not about sex, not about me, but anything maybe that was on TV or something like that. But that's it. That was the extent of it. And my mum just plainly just said, no boyfriends, that's it.
She just flat out told you, no boyfriends, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So luckily for me, I was a pretty smart kid and I used to do a lot of reading, and I remember I learned about sex through, I had this child's version of encyclopedias. This was before internet.
I had those too. Yeah, I had some of those. Yeah.
And I read all about it, and my mum said to me that this was when I was about 5 or 6. And
five or six?
Yeah, and
oh, wow.
When I
wasn't reading that early about sexual stuff.
I went to her and I said, oh, my God, you lied to me about everything.
She told and you I, the stork delivered the kids, huh?
That's right.
And you believe the shit. You was like, the stork brought them kids. What? What do you mean? A womb. What? Pregnancy?
So, yeah. So from then on, my sexual education was really I was the one to manage that, yeah. And I did get it from reputable sources. I did a lot of reading. So.
Okay, now, Michelle, you know this show is upfront and straightforward. I ask a lot of straightforward questions, so I'm going to ask you a very nosy, straightforward question. At what age did you lose your virginity?
Oh, you can't ask me that question.
I sure can ask you that question. This is upfront and straight. This ain't beat around the bush with Alan Roger Curry. This is upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. So,
okay. Yep, all right. Well, I mean, I'm not ashamed to say it. So I think I was 19, 20. Very respectful.
So you were right on the edge of that period I've been focusing on, 13 to 19. So you were just leaving that age group when you lost your virginity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now within weeks or months after you lost your virginity, were you open with your parents, or did you kind of keep it to yourself?
Oh, no way. We don't even talk about it now. No way.
Wow! Really?
Yeah.
Damn,
you know,
that's deep.
Yeah. And if I try to talk to them about anything like that, they just go, oh, Michelle.
Because, you know, it's funny. When I was young, my father, bless his heart, my father literally, and I mean literally, talked about birds and bees. He started talking about birds. Then he started talking about bees. And me and my brother were looking at each other like, why is he talking about birds and bees? And I felt bad for him because, you know, my father was a public speaker and he's very articulate. And that was probably one of the times I remember him seeming kind of just uncomfortable and flustered.
Yeah.
He did not really want to have that talk with, at least not at that time. Now, as we got older, you know, even when we got older, he never had detailed talks with my brother and I about sex. He just would tell us basically to be responsible, i.e. wear condoms.
Yeah.
But we never
had. Oh, that's
had.
Good. That's good. Yeah.
Now, when I got older, yeah, we had some extensive talks about, you know, male-female relationships and sex and stuff. Even me and my mother. My mother, I'm not going to even repeat some stuff. Her last 5 to 10 years of her life was when my mother was a pistol.
when
I was young, we didn't really talk in detail about too much, but okay, I'm going to go ahead and do a little kissing and telling. Like, when we were older, this is like in the last few years of my mother's life, one day we were talking about different stuff, and she just came out of the blue and asked, she said, Alan, she said, I got to let you know I've overheard some of your conversations. I said, Mom, you nosy rascal. She said, yes, you get real nasty with women. She said, I ain't mad at you. She said, if that works for you. She said, now I notice when you get nasty with women, you're always talking about receiving oral sex pleasure, but I haven't heard you talk about giving it. And I was like, Mom! And she said, I want to know.
Are you generous?
She's like, is it a two-way street, or are you just kind of, you know, 68 and I owe you one? I said, listen to you, Mrs. Curry, what are you talking about? It was funny. It was a trip, you know, having my mom. Yeah, because, well, one more thing, little story I'm going to tell. You know, my mother had this answering machine. And nowadays everything's on voicemail, but she had, you know, an answering machine and recorded messages. And when I first moved away from L.A. and came back home to help her out when my father got sick, I came home one day. And she had this look on her face. I said, "Mom, why are you looking at me like that?" And she just pointed at the answer machine. So I pushed play on the answer machine. Now, Michelle, I think you know my MO by now. I'm a pretty X-rated conversationalist. It was three women that left messages that were triple X-rated. And I just knew my mother was going to chastise me. But to my surprise, she said, "Son, I'm going to tell you, it seems like you got away with women when it comes to your conversational skills." Mm-hmm. And she was like, "Based on those messages, you're getting a positive response from them." She said, her attitude was, "Keep doing what you're doing." She said, "As long as you're not, you know, breaking a woman's heart, misleading them." Basically, she was saying, "As long as you mow one, you know, I ain't mad at you." And because, yeah, these messages, I can't, they were very frank. It's like at least one of these three women knew I was staying with my mother at the time. At least she was supposed to know. She still left this triple X-rated message. But anyway, my point was, I had, in later years, yeah, I had some very frank discussions with my mom and to a lesser extent my father. But I think mothers and fathers do need to have discussions with their kids.
Yeah.
Like these sex experts have been saying on my show, if they don't learn about sex from their parents, they're going to learn about it from somebody. You can believe that. It's either going to be their classmates, somebody in a movie or a TV show, or whoever else.
Or the internet. I mean, really.
Or the internet.
I think that's where the kids get their stuff from, for sure.
Oh, yeah. There's internet porn now. And
open, free. Not that I would know, but
we know you want to maintain your innocent, wholesome image, Michelle. But we know you be sneaking at night on them internet porn sites. Yeah, getting your fix.
I just wanted to make a very quick comment. I know that you're just about to wrap up, but speaking as a mother, I started talking to my daughter about sex when she was five. And,
wow, you start early, okay.
Really early, and I explained it in scientific detail. And, you know, even, you know, the name.
How many daughters you have?
Just one.
Just one, okay.
And
how old is she now?
She's almost 17, so she's in that
age. Oh, she's in that age group, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, and we over the years, we've just had a running, we talk about it all the time. And I think the last caller was right. You have to be absolutely direct. You have to explain the consequences to kids because they just don't see that when they're all in the moment. They don't think about those consequences. So you really have to be clear. And also, you know, there was my daughter had a boyfriend, and I had to tell her because he was sort of, they were together, then he'd drop her and then go with someone else. And when that ended, he'd come back to her. I said to her, "Sophie, I think you just need to realize what's actually really happening here. He doesn't love you. He's just coming back to you when he needs somebody." And she just dropped him like a hot potato, and her whole attitude changed after that. So she realized there was some home truths. I just had to be direct about what he was doing because she just couldn't see it.
So in other words, you had to be all one, didn't you?
I did, because she was in love.
Say, "Alan, I had to be mowed one with my daughter."
"Alan, I had to be mowed one with my daughter."
Ooh, say it again.
"Alan, I had to be mowed one."
Ooh, you said the mow one, which means it's time for
Alan Roger Curry.
Yeah, up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
daughters need mothers and fathers who have a mold one style of communication. Matter of fact, speaking of that, I got to tell this quick story. I do a lot of public speaking engagements. As you know, I just went to Germany and spoke. But probably my most challenging public speaking experience happened right here in my neck of the woods in a city called Maryville, Indiana. I got invited by a female friend to speak in front of a group of church folk and also an organization that promotes premarital celibacy. So at first I turned it down. I said, my friend's name is Kenya. I said, Kenya, you know I can't do this speaking engagement. You know how provocative I can get. She said, oh, Alan, you can just don't be X-rated, but we want you to keep it real now. That's why I'm hiring you. We want you to keep it real. We don't want you to be, you know, all sugarcoat anything, but we don't want you to use, you know, triple X-rated language. So anyway, I agreed to do it. And all these prim, proper, prudish people in the audience listening to me talk about Mo 1. And to my pleasant surprise, and my brother and his now wife were there, they tripped off it too because they thought I was going to get admonished by damn near everybody there. But when it was over, this group of women came up to me ranging anywhere from late 50s to early 70s. And they said, young man, and of course they won me over by calling me young man. They said, young man, you need to be in all the high schools and all the colleges talking about Mo 1. I said, really? And I just knew they was going to, you know, criticize what I, because I was talking about casual sex and everything. But they, here's what they said. They said, you know what? They said, we would rather these high school boys go up to our granddaughters and tell them straightforwardly that they want to have sex with them so that our granddaughters can straightforwardly reject them than to have them tell them that they love them to get them in bed.
Absolutely, yep.
Or put date rape drugs in their drinks, which they said was becoming prevalent, or something similar was getting them drunk in order to get them to have sex. They said they hated all those. They said if it came down to it, we would rather a guy just straightforwardly say, hey, Linda or Michelle or Sophie, I'm interested in having sex with you. And they just hope that the values that they instilled in their granddaughters would cause their granddaughters to say no. Now, I said, you know, at least 5% of them go say yes, and they start laughing. But no, they actually applauded my straightforward style, which, and that is really, that left an impression on me. I have to say, I was proud of myself that Mo once swayed over even the church-going crowd. But yeah, I know, I mean.
Yeah, I think it's true. I think you're absolutely right. Absolutely, that's true. I would love that too.
Yeah, because people ask me all the time, I don't have any children that I know of. But, you know, women always ask me, Alan, if you had a daughter, would you want a guy to be a Mo 1 with your daughter? I say, hell yeah, I want a man be a Mo 1 with my daughter for the reasons that those women said. Because when you Mo 1 with a woman, you give a woman the choice.
Yeah.
She got the choice to say yay or nay. And I would, if I had a daughter right now, I can honestly, I say this in all sincerity, if I had a daughter that would say 15, 16, 17, 18, I would rather one of her male classmates tell her straightforwardly that he wanted to exchange orgasms with her than for him to try to get my daughter drunk, put some date rape drugs in my daughter's. Because if he did one of them two things, I'm not a proponent of violence. I have to preface my comments by saying I'm not a proponent of violence. But if I had a daughter and some guy was getting my daughter drunk beyond her, you know, choice or putting some date rape drugs, that kid would be a marked man, and that's all I'm going to say at this moment on air. He would be a marked man. But, yeah, I would prefer that her male classmates just be straight up, and hopefully I will have instilled in her that she needs to wait. Did you hear, were you at the, listen at the beginning of the show when I talked about the young lady in Germany that I met?
Yep. I thought
that was wild.
I thought that was a bit creepy, actually.
her uncle.
Like, those Germans, those wacky Germans.
I'm like, damn. I mean, well, in a way, you got to give him props because he did keep it real with her. I can't say that what he said, he was lying. Because he said, you 14, 15 now, from this point forward, you're going to be around nothing but horny boys. And, I mean, I can't disagree with that. I mean,
yeah,
that probably sounds funny coming from her uncle. But I guess the part that is a little bit, for lack of a better word, creepy is that he actually encouraged her to start giving handjobs and blowjobs.
Yeah.
He said, don't have intercourse, but go ahead and give the guys handjobs and blowjobs. I was like, wow, your uncle told you that?
Yeah.
That's wild. Anyway, as always, Michelle, I appreciate. Now, are you and I Skyping tonight? I hit you up on Skype. Anyway, I appreciate you calling in. You always have good feedback for me, and I love the way you say mode one. Listeners,
you're welcome.
I appreciate it, Michelle. Listeners, that's going to do it for my show tonight. As always, thank you for listening. I don't know who my guest will be next week or what my topic will be. I'll keep you posted on Twitter, Facebook, and my Blog Talk Radio site. Until then, have a safe and enjoyable weekend. I will see you next Thursday. Oh, I see KC1082. I didn't see you. What's up in the chat room? Hey, go Bulls. Take care. I'll be here, same bat place. Same bat channel.